Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And if you're at work, Rockwell, you might be right. Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear a case about whether employees have a right to privacy when it comes to text messages sent on employer-owned cell phones. But when it comes to surveillance and email monitoring, someone might well be watching. If the court upholds the California rule saying that text messages are private, my next guest says that will be an exception, not the rule, when it comes to employee rights. Lewis Maltby is the president and founder of the National Work Rights Institute and the author of a new book, Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. He joins me now. Lewis, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
And your book goes through a whole litany of areas where employers have pushed the boundary of privacy, from surveillance cameras in bathrooms and locker rooms to drug testing to email monitoring. We'll focus mostly on the electronic side here. How is it that text messages might be the exception?
Text messages might be the exception because they aren't really being sent over the employer's system. The laws in this area are incredibly arcane, but the basic principle is that if you're using the employer's system to communicate, if he owns it, he can look at whatever you send over it. And when it comes to email, it really is the employer's system. He owns the computer that's sitting on your desk. The employer owns the server that sends the message out. It really is his system. But if you're sending a text message from a BlackBerry or a mobile phone, that's going out over a tower and satellites over a huge wireless system that your employer has nothing to do with. He didn't build it. He didn't pay for it. It's not his. So he can't monitor it. At least that's the theory.
That's the legal theory. Technically, the employer who wants to see an employee's text messages can, because the messages are stored somewhere even after the owner of the phone deletes them?
They are stored, but they're stored with the third-party company that owns the towers and the satellites. It's not stored in the employer's computer. The employer, of course, could go to the other party who provides the service and say, let me see this particular employee's or all my employees' text messages, but there's no guarantee they're going to say yes. And even if they do, it's kind of a hassle for the employers. One reason surveillance is so common today is because it's so easy. All the employer or some kid in IT who wants to read your email has to do is push a button and it's right there. They have to go to a third party and make a formal request to get the information. That alone is going to slow things down.
So, listeners, we can take calls for our guest, Lewis Maltby, author of Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. Have you been surprised to find yourself monitored by your employer? Have you ever been brought into human resources because of something that you wrote in, let's say, an email message that it never occurred to you as being monitored by anybody? Maybe you're a business owner or a manager who feels that you had to call somebody in and confront somebody with something they were doing on company technology. 212-433-WNYC on either side of that, 212-433-9692. Give us a call. And, Lewis, you write about some IT workers who wrote Dear Abby a few years ago to warn people not to send sensitive email at work. Do you think people now know better?
No, I don't. There actually is survey data on this, and it's hard to know what to say about employees. On the one hand, you could say that because they have good character, they expect their employer to behave well. You could also say that they're naive. But most people know that the employer has the capacity to monitor their email and probably does once in a while. But they assume that when the employer reads one of their emails, there's some legitimate reason for it. Most people have no idea that those kids down in IT are reading their personal email for fun. If people knew that, they'd probably be outraged. But the employer is not advertising that that's going on, even if the employer himself knows.
When do you think, because obviously you're a workers' rights advocate, when do you think it's legitimate for an employer to monitor email?
There are many times when it would be perfectly legitimate. I used to be a corporate officer. Part of my responsibilities for it was HR. And if some employee walked into the manager of HR and said, I'm being sexually harassed by email, another employee is sending me harassing emails and I want something done about it, I would absolutely insist that the email, that the HR manager read those emails and take action, because there's reason to believe that there's something bad happening. But if I'm not getting any complaints from my employees about being sexually harassed by email, I don't need to go reading people's personal emails, because there's no problem.
Let's take a phone call. Ben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I'm a bar owner, and first of all, I want to say that my employees are all really good, and I don't have many problems. However, we do have cameras in there. But the reason I'm calling is because I've noticed recently that via Facebook, by just checking their updates and statuses, sometimes I get these kind of strange, you know, peeks into what they're doing while they're at work, things that they might not necessarily report to me. But it's just this kind of different, odd, new medium of kind of monitoring them. And I just thought you might find that interesting. So it's not necessarily email or the cameras that I do have in there, but, you know, people don't know and they're putting something on Facebook, and then I as the owner, because I'm friends with them, might see it and think, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, so
that happens a lot.
Go ahead,
Lewis.
In fact,
a lot of employers are using social network sites as a source of information when they're trying to decide who to hire. And you can't really object to it. If you slap something on your personal blog or your Facebook account for the whole world to see, you can't very well complain if your employer reads it too. But you ought to be a little more careful than some people are about what you put up there. If you've got a picture of yourself on a publicly available website smoking a joint, it just could cost you a job.
Yeah, and I just want to say that because some of my employees are probably listening. They're all fantastic, but I do find it humorous when I see, you know, things on there that I wouldn't expect to see. Thank you for taking my call.
Ben, thank you for making the call.
And the problem with things like that is it's not so much an invasion of privacy, because after all, you posted it for the world to see. The problem is what employers often do after they read it. People used to go down to, a bar and bitch and moan about their boss and complain and just let off steam, and nobody cared. The boss never heard what he said, so it didn't matter. But now people complain about their job and their boss and their frustrations at work on their personal blogs.
Right.
And now the boss reads it, and you might think that the boss would be thick-skinned enough not to get worked up because somebody vents a little on their website, but they do. People get fired every day because they call their boss some uncomplimentary name on their website because they had a bad day at work, and the boss takes offense and fires them.
And as for Facebook, their own privacy settings are in the news right now. They're controversial for these new parameters that Facebook has set as the default privacy settings, which apparently allow you to protect more of your information from other Facebook users who you don't want to see it. But unless you do it proactively, things are still going to be wide open. And I guess Facebook's own motivation is that they want marketers to see as much information about their users as possible, because that's how Facebook will make money.
That's exactly what they want. Facebook will allow you to protect your own privacy, but they're not going to do it for you. It actually hurts them when privacy is protected and access is restricted. So you can count on Facebook to do what you ask them to do, but don't ask them to do anything on their own. They're not going to.
Lewis Maltby, author of Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. Steve in Gramercy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I have two questions. The first is several of my friends and I use BlackBerry Messenger. And I was told that some of my friends who work in the legal world, and, you know, we chat on there, and they're using their company's BlackBerry, that they said that that's not traceable. And then the second question is, if I have my own, BlackBerry, but my company has offered to pay for half of my monthly fees, my concern is if I take that service that they have the ability then, for any reason, to review my emails if something came up.
They'll be able to review the first half of each sentence of your email since they have... No, I'm kidding. Lewis, do you know the answer?
Nobody knows the answer to that yet, but there's some risk. There have been a number of cases that have gone to court already where an employer wanted to see an employee's home computer, that the employee, he bought it with his own money, he paid for it, he's using it at his own time in his own house, and the boss says, I want to see what's on that computer, usually because the boss thinks that the person may be pirating trade secrets. And unless the employer has very solid evidence of some sort of serious theft of intellectual property, the courts usually slam the door in their face. So if you have your personal BlackBerry, the chances of your boss ever being able to read those messages is very, very low. I wouldn't worry about it. If they're paying half the bill, I guarantee you they'll argue, if they ever are interested, that gives them the right to read those messages. And what a court would do is anybody's guess. It's basically a coin flip.
Yeah, and that's on the right. As far as the technology, when Steve talks about BlackBerry Messenger, or let's say you're using Google Chat or some other chat functions, does that just disappear into the ether like email or text messages don't? Do you happen to know?
Virtually nothing disappears into the ether. Whoever is really sending the messages, whether it's like a server in your employer's office or a third-party company like Verizon, there are probably backup files somewhere that have those messages in them. But whether or not your employer will get access to them is a very different matter. As a practical matter, what it really comes down to is, if you're sending, is this passing through your employer's server? If you are sending messages through your employer's server, it doesn't matter if it's the company email account or your own Yahoo account. It doesn't matter what the nature of the message is. If it's going out to the company server, it's subject to being read. And if it's being sent out through some sort of wireless provider that the company just contracts with, there is a record, but the chances of the company being able to see it are much lower. I don't think I'd call my boss too many uncomplimentary names and just assume that it was totally safe. But by and large, I don't worry about what I said wireless.
All right. We're almost out of time talking about company surveillance of your digital communications with Lewis Maltby, author of Can They Do That? Retaking Our Fundamental Rights in the Workplace. Quick reminder that you can post to our Facebook page, where we will look at what you write, or to our comments page, where we certainly will, at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, to participate in the following segment, which is going to be to answer the question, what would you as an American be willing to sacrifice to make the world a better place? So go to our Brian Lehrer Facebook page or WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and answer the question, what would you as an American be willing to sacrifice to make the world a better place? Let's get one more phone call in for Lewis Maltby, and it's Oliver in Williamsburg. Oliver, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks a lot. I just wanted to report about my work surveillance situation. I work for the alcohol distribution business. So I deal with bars and restaurants all day. I'm out and about, and I have a business phone, which the company gave me to conduct my business. But in addition, it also has GPS tracking on it so that it can know my whereabouts and as an attendance issue, so they know that I put in my 8 hours a day. However, as late as this morning, my boss said to me, hey, Oliver, on Wednesday, why'd you go over the Williamsburg Bridge, you know, that day? And I said, well, it was 7 o'clock. My work day was over, and I was going to Soho, you know, to shop for snowboards. And I just felt a little invaded upon. You know, I'd put in my 8 hours, and here I was off on personal time. And he's asked me why I was doing that, and you know, I had a reasonable response, but I felt invaded certainly. And I always know that they know where I am, and it's a little disconcerting.
Were you driving a company vehicle?
Negative.
What do you think the employer was fishing for?
I don't know. Just asking to ask, I presume. But it was just curious. You know, it was 7:15.
Right. And you were off. You were done with your shift. So, Lewis Maltby, this is right in your wheelhouse. That's a creepy story.
This could be a big problem. Oliver, if you can, turn off the cell phone or turn off the GPS when you finish work, because you never know if your employer is going to turn it off. This is not the first time that we've heard about an employer handing out company cell phones with GPS tracking and continuing to track people evenings and weekends, often in secret. Unfortunately, this is something that's starting to happen to a lot of people.
Luckily, I'm not, you know, I'm a very open person. I don't have much to hide, but it was just a little disconcerting knowing that they were looking at me. So I just wanted to chime that in. Thank you so much.
All right. Have fun snowboarding.
Thank you, sir. Thanks
for calling. And that's where we leave it with Louis Malpe, who is president and founder of the National Work Rights Institute and the author of the new book, which is about all kinds of workplace rights. Can they do that? Retaking our fundamental rights in the workplace. Thanks so much for talking with us about digital surveillance.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, that call-in suggested by one of you just before Christmas. What would you, as an American, be willing to sacrifice to make the world a better place? And now you can call us with your answers to that question. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. What would you, as an American, be willing to sacrifice, keyword sacrifice, to make the world a better place? Give us a call.